And now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. This past week has been an eventless one. I gave my bold State of the Union address on Tuesday or Wednesday, outlining my plans for health care, surging our troops, and other key promises. Unfortunately, my presidential term expires in less than 2 years, which is nearly enough time to implement my plannings. Therefore, I would like to announce at this time that I intend to hat my ring into the 2008 elections. I pledge I'm not going to give up the White House without a fight. I have strong opponents in Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and it's a vital interest to our nation's security that I retain the office. Now, some may say I'm not allowed another 4 years. I've listened to these criticizers and weighed my options, and I say to them, if they have a better plan, let them come forward with it. The president is the decide maker, and I've decided made that I should run again and retain my seat until our country is safe and secure, no matter what the opposers are going to say. Thank you for your continued support. I'll be looking for your vote in 08. God bless you.
A public service of The Onion, brought to you by weeklyradioaddress.com.
No, I didn't. I was watching it the other day. You would love that movie. She's all naughty and has like black eye makeup, and yeah, you'd like it.
Sorry, I'm wiping my nose here. Oh, for a webcam. All just for a tape that had been running about 30 seconds ago. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 2 minutes. I'll clarify for everybody here in a second. It's 2 minutes and 48 seconds after the hour of 11 in this month of February in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. It is Tuesday, and welcome to day 12. We're here at our brand new plush facilities on First Avenue. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I just got to keep you equipped with a microphone all the time. I just could put like a little lavalier mic on you. Just have it running constantly. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email us, you can do that as well, by God. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick@RickEmerson.com. I don't even want to describe the conversation that got us to that point.
It's not that kind of movie.
The little O-mouth. Anywho, I know it's not that kind of movie. It's based on a children's book, right? The thing with Thora Birch, not the other thing.
No, you're thinking of Hole. With,
yes, I am, Sarah. Buff. Yes, I am.
No, The Hole. I think we've talked about this before.
Rick, you're not thinking of Holes, you're thinking of The Hole. Yes, I am.
I told you about it. It has Keira Knightley, and she shows her breasts, and Thora Birch is all, like, trashy and hot, and smoke.
All right. It doesn't really matter, because I quit listening, like, 2 minutes ago, and he started talking about The Hole with Thora Birch in it. Here's what happened. I don't even remember how we got it.
Maybe that's an off-air conversation.
We can skip large sections of this. I was saying this. This is what I would say, because we were... It's a long conversation that is probably awkward at this point at the beginning of the program. So I'll just skip ahead to the end. When I said, have you seen Ghost World with Thora Birch? And you hadn't, which surprises me. Because, I don't know, it's kind of a quirky sort of indie film that kind of has Sarah written all over it. And then you just, I don't know why it sounded so hilarious, because you said, I know you love that girl, meaning Thora Birch. And I answered, yes, I do. You said, have you seen The Hole? which is great. And then every step you took to try to clarify what you were talking about just made it sound more and more wrong. Have you seen The Hole? You know, The Hole. The Thora Birch Hole. and a birch hole sounds great. Just, I don't even know what a birch hole is, but it sounds fantastic. Anyway, it's like before the show, you were talking about that one guy that board up we used to work with, and you described him as an egg-shaped dinosaur. I don't even know what that means when you describe a guy as being an egg-shaped dinosaur. But the thing is, I knew exactly who you were talking about. I knew exactly who you were talking about, and that is exactly the right description. Sometimes you hear
I wonder
this.
What happened to that guy.
He looked like a mental patient.
He was scary.
You won't use his name because...
He got my personal email address from home, but send me wrong emails.
They always do. Those guys are always good with tools, so we won't mention his name on the air just yet. But I knew exactly who you were talking about. Big, and here's the sound that... I know now that we're talking about something that nobody could possibly identify with unless you were one of the three people in this room, but we used to work with a guy who I will not name. And it's probably nobody you're thinking of because it's a guy who sort of played sort of a behind-the-scenes sort of a role. But there's a guy we used to work with over at the Entercom building. And when Sarah describes him looking like a big egg-shaped dinosaur, that is exactly just a big baby Huey-looking bastard. And this is the sound that I heard in my head whenever I saw this guy coming down the hallway. He would just, does this ever happen to you where you see somebody walking in the hallway or somebody calls you or talks to you, you see their picture, and you immediately conjure up theme music for them in your head? And every time I would see this guy walking down the hallway, I would just hear this sort of doo 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 doo. And it would just be playing in the background in my brain. And whenever the guy would open it up, why gosh, Rick, I don't know how to bring up the Donna Mack program over here on this radio equipmentizer. And in my head, I would just be hearing doo 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 as he looked at me. I don't even know what we're talking about. So, to recap so far, we used to work with a guy shaped like an egg and or a dinosaur. I have not seen the Thora Birchhole. And Tim Riley has wisely stayed out of this entire conversation. 503-733-2970. You should see Ghost World, though. It's not a fantastic movie.
Oh, do you want to borrow the hole from me?
I don't know what we're talking about. What is the hole?
The hole is it's this movie about all these kids who go to this private school in England, and they're all to go on some school trip. But Thora Birch, being the bad girl that she is, along with some other people, decide to skip the school trip and go and spend the vacation in this hole. Thing with a trap door in the middle of the woods, and they go down there and they party it up.
How is this?
And they get trapped in there.
So this is not holes with the kids at the summer camp where they discover the hole in the ground.
No, this
are we
is
talking about two different things?
I believe so.
There's holes, which is based on a beloved children's book.
Yeah, with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, which I have not seen either.
I haven't seen that either.
And so Hole has Thora Birch and who?
It's called The Hole. It has Keira Knightley.
You know what I'd love to do with Keira Knightley? I would love to get... Well, you know the first thing I'd love to do with Keira Knightley, before the many, many hundreds of other things that are on the list, I'd love to just stick her in a closet and just force feed her for like a good 3 or 4 months. She'd be perfect then. You know what I mean? She's really, really cute, but goddamn is she too skinny. I mean, and I know that I say that of a lot of girls, but I think all guys will agree with me. There's nothing about Keira Knightley that wouldn't be hotter if she was about 15 pounds chunkier. That's a girl who could really use a sandwich or 10. There ought to be a fat farm where I can take girls who are too skinny and just have them become fat. And then turn them back loose into the wild. Seriously, think of the number of girls out there who are less attractive than they might otherwise be because they're just walking around like a bag of pokey things. That's no good. Anyway, the thing about Thora Birch is Thora Birch in Ghost World is... I think she's of age, too. I don't believe she's underage. I think she was of age.
She might not be of age in this one because it's a little older.
I don't know. Like an American Beauty. Was she of age in American Beauty?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to think about it. Anyway, we're going to move. I'm not going to talk about it.
But anyway, I'm going to let you borrow that movie because you will absolutely love it. It is the best worst movie I've ever seen.
Okay. Best fan. Is it a horror film?
It's kind of a thriller slash horror film where she is like, it's kind of like a who, you know, they're all trapped in this hole and like people right. start dying and you don't know exactly what's going on.
I'm all over that.
She's very naughty.
Of course she is. Here's how hot Thora Birch is to me. Maybe less so now.
I don't see it.
Maybe less so now. Maybe she doesn't look hot anymore. Maybe she's de-hotted herself somehow. Thora Birch is so hot to me that in Ghost World, which you have not seen, which you really ought to, because you know who the other girl in Ghost World is Scarlett Johansson. Thora Birch is so hot to me, I didn't even notice Scarlett Johansson. Scarlett Johansson just faded into the background for me in Ghost World, which has Steve Buscemi in it, and it's kind of a creepy film. I mean, it's sort of sweet and sort of quirky. It's kind of like Harold and Maude. It has that same Harold and Maude vibe where it's kind of sweet, but it's a little creepy and disturbing at the same time, because Steve Buscemi's like a 45-year-old record collector, and Thora Birch is, I think she plays like a 16-year-old, and they have this weird quasi-romantic relationship.
Hey, so The Hole and Ghost World came out the same year.
All right.
They both came out in 2001, so she looks exactly like she didn't go through all that in the Hulk.
Yeah, so there you go.
So
she's
like
all kinds of hot in that movie. Yeah, I didn't even notice Scarlett Johansson was in that film until years later. Like Scarlett Johansson, I've seen in Ghost World. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Because I was so busy being distracted by Thora Birch. Well, anyway. I've spent like 10 minutes talking about a woman who's never going to meet me, never going to talk to me. Doesn't matter. I'll move on. 503-733-2970. I've heard all about the hole, Thora. Could you come visit me, please? It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. They're ever so glad that they brought us over to this building so they can hear all this firsthand. We'd like to be part of today's program with your comments. Tim just left. Tim just walked out of the studio. Your comments, your conventions, your clarifications, your two cents, or what have you. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. You can also email. It is 503-733-2970. Here's what we've got today. We have, and I swear to God, it says this on the piece of paper, tickets to Monster Jam, car-crushing action, which happens, I believe, on Saturday. And as Fat Boy was noting last night, these things are supposed to happen on Sunday. So you can say Sunday, 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 be there, be there, be there. It's not really the case. I think it's happening on Saturday.
Where is it? Is it in town?
It is in town, Sarah Dillon. It is happening. Let's see. Where is Monster Jam happening? Oh, at the Rose Garden. Well, that makes sense. Hey, let me ask you this.
That would be kind of entertaining, actually. I might be interested.
You've never gone to a... Have you never gone to a monster truck rally?
I've been to one monster truck rally, and it was with... he's the lead singer of Death Cab for Cutie, Ben Gibbard.
Yeah.
My family was friends with the Gibbards, and we went and visited them, and we went to a monster truck rally together when I was younger.
You went to a monster truck rally with Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie?
Yes, I did.
Don't ever tell my wife that.
Well, his little sister is my best friend in high school.
Ben is apparently Lara's new boyfriend.
Oh,
Ben isn't really aware of that fact. He doesn't really know that. But apparently he and my wife have had an ongoing relationship of some kind for for a long time. Apparently he writes all of his songs about her. apparently he thinks about her dreamily at night while sketching in his composition notebook. Good God. Let me just say this about Death Cab for Cutie. First of all, and I know that the beginning of today's program is sounding a little fragmented, but this is all the crap in my head that I got it, because otherwise it'll be like this all day. This is like that first 30 minutes at the therapist's office where you're like, and then I had gum on the bottom of my shoe.
It must have gone good. You seem in a pretty good mood.
I just thought, I don't think the guy's for me, but, you know, he's not a bad guy. My new shrink, not a bad guy. Good guy. Don't think he really gets
me. He's getting mixed up a bit.
Maybe. I'm going to move on. I'm gonna shake it up and try to find somebody else. Here's the thing about Death Cab for Cutie. Do you ever hear a song by a band that you really have a big emotional stake in hating, and then you hear the song and you like it, and you're like, oh, God damn it. Oh, it's like with the White Stripes, who I just hated for so long, for no real reason. Like, I just hated the White Stripes because all the Kim Morgan types just loved them. Like, all of the hipsters with their Naga hide jackets that they wear to be wacky. Look at me. I'm a tacky dressed 70s guy with big, you know, porn hair. And like, they were all so into the White Stripes, and so I just hated them. I hated the White Stripes without ever even hearing them, because the guys who were into them and the people who were into them were just so loathsome to me. And then I was in the CD Game Exchange, and they were playing their second album, and that song Little Bird came out, and I'm like, well, this is the best song I've ever heard. Who is this? And the guy's like, oh, it's the White Stripes. And then I just, you know, and then you have to get in, and then you just feel all defeated. So it is with Death Cab for Cutie, because seriously, you look on our TiVo, and on the TiVo, you can record by keyword. Like, you can say, whatever, Loch Ness Monster, Monster Truck Rally, Death Cab for Cutie. And it'll just record any program that comes on any of the channels, anytime, day or night, that has that description. And there is a whole Death Cab for Cutie folder on our TiVo. And at any given moment, there's like 8, 9, 10, because they're on every program. There's like some law that once a week, Death Cab for Cutie have to be performing on one of the, you know, like on Leno or Letterman or something. Well, no network can go more than 3 hours without having Death Cab for Cutie on to do something. And so there's this whole folder on our TiVo that is filled with Death Cab for Cutie appearances. And I'm in the house the other day, and she's playing some music, and I hear this great song. I'm like, that's a fantastic song. That's one of the most beautiful songs I've heard all month. Who is it? And then I walk out, and there's, what's his name? Ben Gibbard with his big chipmunk cheeks on television singing some song.
You're jealous.
I'm not jealous. I'm just saying.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying it was a great song.
What do chipmunk cheeks have to do with his
and
name?
And I'm just saying he has a big football head. He has a head that looked like it was a normal head, and then it got sort of squashed from the top down, and now it's sort of a sideways oval. I mean, whatever. You know, to each his own. I'm no Michelangelo's David or nothing. I'm just saying he's got chipmunk cheeks. He looks like he's storing nuts for the winter.
Okay.
And look at Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie. Tell me he doesn't look like he's packing away macadamias for the month of December.
He doesn't have chipmunk cheek.
Whatever you say. Anyway, it was a great song, and so now I can't hate him quite as much as I did. That's what I'm talking about. Death Cab for Cutie, monster truck. So you went to a monster truck rally with the guy from Death Cab for Cutie.
Yeah, when we lived on Whidbey Island, my dad went to school, I believe, with Ben's dad, because they were both doctors. So we went to visit the Gibberts before we moved to Bremerton. And, went and met up with them. They lived right next to...
How bizarre.
I know, yeah, they lived right next to the fairgrounds, and so we went there and watched the monster truck rally.
Well, in any event, so at the Rose Garden this weekend, the Monster Jam in Portland, Oregon, February... Oh, I guess it's not just Saturday. I misspoke, because we have tickets to this. February 9th, 10th, 11th at the Rose Garden. And let's see here. USHAR monster trucks, including Grave Digger, Bulldozer, Manic Jurassic. Oh, I'm sorry, Maniac
Jurassic.
What time
is that? I totally want to go.
It is Friday, 7:30, Saturday, 7:30, Sunday, 2 p.m. Gates open, Friday, 6:30. So, yeah, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2. Monster trucks including Grave Digger, Bulldozer, Maniac Jurassic Attack, The Patriot, Tropical Thunder, Bi-Mart, and Obsession. Trucks are subject to change without notice. So we've got tickets to that we're going to be giving away.
There you go. Fantastic.
What else? We have more Farce of the Penguin DVDs to give away. If you'd like to see photographs of a really awkward Rick Emerson being hugged by the guy in the fursuit yesterday, you can go to rickemerson.com, 1970.am. Also, there's some video, I believe, that it was taken by that guy's partner who was with him, who took some video of it and has sent it to me. I don't think it's been posted yet. So that's up there. Coming up today, also, we got a double geek watch. Let's see. We have a story containing the following phrase. Hey, if I wear these diapers, I won't need to stop. What else? Lisa Goddard will be here. We'll talk to Jim Roop from CNN. And later on, we'll check with our good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger, who is in Hawaii and whose office has been taken by me.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
It's 503-733-2970. For no readily apparent reason, we have this phone call from Steve. Hello, sir.
Hey, I can barely hear you. But I have a question for you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
That thing you do, you're probably the only person who's ever watched it more than I have.
Tim Riley has watched That Thing You Do many dozens of times.
Oh, well, even better then. I need to address the inherent creepiness in the overall film.
Okay, there's nothing creepy about that movie. That is one of the... That Thing You Do is one of the finest movies of the last 20 years.
I absolutely agree, but, okay, Diane Dane, the Rick and Anita movie, what's with the casting of those people? Because they're a little bit subpar as far as looks go, and they're just and they look about 20 years older than they need to be, and those type of inconsistencies in there kind of drive me nuts every time I'm seeing it. It's like, why'd they cast her? Why'd they cast that guy?
Are you talking about that? Are you talking about when the Oneaters, the Wonders, are there as Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters?
Yes, exactly. But the person who plays Anita, I mean, the guy who plays Goofball is dead on, but the people who play Rick and Anita and then Diane Dane, the Chanteuse, or...
This is the most niche conversation that's ever been had on any radio program anywhere, because we're now talking about a fictitious surf movie inside a small Tom Hanks film that like 1% of the population has ever seen. Here's the thing, and I think Tim would weigh in on this as well. The deal with that surf movie that is being filmed, the film within a film, inside That Thing You Do, is I think a reference to the fact that in all of those actual Annette Funicello surf films of the 60s, everybody is like way older than they're supposed to be. And did you ever go back and watch like a high school film from the 60s, and everybody...
Yeah, they look like they're close to 30.
Yeah, everybody's like 100 years old.
That's because they all ate too much meat.
The casting of real teenagers didn't start, I think, until the 80s. Back in the day, everybody who was in high school was played by somebody who was about 40 years old. So I think that's a deliberate bit of casting on the part of Tom Hanks, director of that film.
And I absolutely agree, and I was hoping that's what you'd say, because that was just an inconsistent part of that. It was driving me nuts.
It's not creepy. It's meant to be that way, sir. It's part of historical accuracy.
So that makes the movie even better in my book.
Excellent. There you go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. There you go. Thank you, Del Paxton. There you go. That's Steve. It's 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you doing?
Hello.
And you bicycled 2 days in a row, by the way. I don't think I didn't notice that. I know
2 days.
Trying to make me feel bad.
No, I feel a little better today. Yesterday, I just had a huge coughing fit when I got off. But now I feel like I'm about 85%.
And Kristen Bowie is back from Punxsutawney, so I don't think she's infectious anymore. But so everybody in the building, Tim, you, me, Kristen, Tim Savage, Sarah Wagner, literally everybody who uses this studio is now laden in germs. So it's like, no, but I mean...
And this is the first year that I got a flu shot, too. I'm never doing that again.
No, it didn't help.
It didn't do a damn thing.
It made me sick. My conscience is clear. I told everybody not to get a flu shot.
But it was free, and it was there, so I figured maybe it'll help.
Fantastic. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
If I had been president in October of 2002, I would not have started this war. If we in Congress don't end this war before January 2009 as president, I will.
God, it's like a chisel being taken to the inside of my brain. I mean, the only good thing about that voice of Hillary Clinton's is the idea that she might be able to use it as some sort of oral weapon on our enemies. Good God almighty, because really, you lock her in a room with President Ahmadinejad, or whatever his name is, from Iran, and I mean, he might just concede to whatever it is she wants. After like 5 minutes, I cannot take the voice of the woman. Iran will terminate our nuclear program. Just get me out of the room with that shrew. I mean, who knows? It might work.
A bizarre astronaut love triangle has an Oregon connection. The former gay Reverend Ted Haggard is now completely heterosexual following 3 weeks of exhausted counseling.
Yeah.
FEMA wants $300 million in Katrina aid back, and Easy Bake Ovens are recalled.
Fantastic. There you go.
All right, let's see. What do we have here? Well, we got that. Anyway, I had a bunch of crap to talk about, but we're going to run too late. Rick, thank you for having me. Oh, this is from the furry yesterday. It's from James the Furry. Thank you for having me. You know who is really unnerved by James the Furry was Jeff McGinley, chief engineer.
Yeah, he was
AMI
kind of
70.
Freaking out after the show.
He was still freaking out this morning. I came into work this morning, and Jeff was outside having a cigarette break. And the first words out of his mouth were, "God damn, that guy freaked me the F out." I mean, he was like, he couldn't let it go. He couldn't get past it. Neither could Scott.
Yeah, after the show, we had to kind of talk him down yesterday.
Seriously, now he's crawling to ceiling. Anyway, James the Furry says, thank you for having me in the studio yesterday. It was great fun. About the groping. Sorry about that. Yeah, because the groping, which I don't think anybody really saw the groping in the photograph. I think the groping is captured, but you can't really see the true horror of it. And it has... I can't believe I'm about to say this. It's not really so much the fact that it's, you know, that it's a man or that he's dressed as an elk. It's just sort of the confluence of the two, I think. Anyway, so we're there. And see, it's one thing, because, you know, spending a lot of time with Tinker at a certain point just sort of, you know, whatever. I mean, you just sort of become numb to these things. It's one thing if James goes to give me the hug and just gives me the hug with the full-on grope. Byron Beck. Spend enough time at Byron Beck, you won't even notice it. You don't even feel the hand on your buttocks anymore. Your buttocks just become numb to all those sensations. What it was with him, though, with James, the furry yesterday, is he comes over and he gives me the hug, and then, Sarah, you must experience this a lot as a woman, where he gives you the hug, but then the hands, it's like a slow kneading of your back. As though you're made out of some sort of succulent bread dough. So he's kneading me, and then like the one hand just slowly like slides down and just cups one of my buttocks. That's the unpleasant situation.
Well, what kind of weirded me out is that you didn't stop him.
Well, I was having the photo taken. And the thing is, if you move, then the photo's blurry, and then you got to get back in position and do it again. So it's one of those things where sometimes you just got to bite down hard and take it, Sarah. And then it's over.
I'm sorry for the things that have happened to you.
It's mercifully over. All right, I got nothing. Oh, except that's a lie, because what I do have later on is I have some fantastic Arnold Schwarzenegger audio from a record he put out. And about this is what Jeff gave me. To make up for his furry uneasiness yesterday, Jeff McGinley gave me some Arnold Schwarzenegger audio. It is
his
workout album. Have you heard the workout album?
Oh, yes. No, you can actually buy the ringtones on Verizon. My friend has that, too.
It's the most fantastic.
Built this city, or I can't remember who it is.
Oh, no,
Journey, Don't Stop Believing.
I've got that, but there's 10 cuts. There's the Blue Oyster Cult, there's that, there's 8675309, there's Eddie Money, Two Ticket to Paradise, and it's, and the bet, let me just give you just a little, as they say, let me give you just a little sneak peek. Wait, hold on, let's see if I can bring this up. This is on the V drive, I believe, if I can access that, which I may not be able to. Hold on, give me just one second here, because if I've got it, this will be the greatest thing to go into the break with. But yeah, this was given to me by Jeff, who I think felt bad that he'd been so awkward about the furry thing. Now, I don't have it. We'll have to play when we get back. It's raining men. And so it's raining.
And all the one.
Yeah,
two.
And it's him going in, out, up, down, in, out, up, down. And in the background, there's It's Raining Men, which. I'm just saying.
That song plays on moving like every 10 minutes.
Of course it does.
I regret that we didn't have that when the jumping happened, when that guy jumped off the Paramount. That really would have been the best ever theme for that segment. All right.
I wish we could break into Movin's audio library, because remember when we heard Timmy T the other day?
Yes, one more try. Okay, we're really, really getting off point here. Okay. We should break. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up around the corner, Lisa Goddard, and at noon, Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. does really say it. I don't think she means it.
I'm sure she doesn't.
Here's it. It's like, I don't really think that Thora Birch is really looking out at me. That scene in American Beauty where she's standing in the window, she's not really looking into my eyes.
Now, you and Laura are perfectly okay.
So we're both unstable. Thank you. The thing about this is, and not only do I get to hear lots of Death Cab for Cutie in my house, I get to hear all this guy's side projects, too. Did you ever realize...
I love the Postal Service.
The Postal Service is okay, but it's like, now I know what it's like to live with me, though, where I get in one of those moods where all I want to hear are, like, Slayer records, or, you know, it's 5 days of Andrew W.K., you know, and that's what it is. And she's never had anything like that. With her, it was just the Indigo Girls. That's all it was. I mean, that's really all it was before. It's just the Indigo Girls and Ana DeFranco records, and then that kind of phased away. But now, it's like, and this, I don't know if you've been in the house since we did this, but the single largest decoration, the single largest piece of art or piece of decoration of any kind in my home is a huge Death Cab for Cutie poster in the living room that she paid like $300 to have framed.
Wow.
I mean, it's like a huge, it's from some record store, though. And it was for their new record Plans. It was like an in-store, like, matted poster board thing. And she had, like, she got the glare-proof glass and, you know. Really, it's like it ought to be hanging in the Louvre and you ought to be only able to look at it for 5 seconds a day and no flash photography. Well, in any event.
Hello.
It's a Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503. And I ought to like these guys, but I just don't. That's the thing. I just don't, man.
That's too bad, because they're kind of a story of, you know, people working in their band for a very long time to be successful as an overnight success.
I have no problem with them. I mean, God love them. I wish them all the respect in the world. It's just not music I wish to hear. That's my whole thing. I just don't want to have to listen to it. I understand that Bob Costantini's a big Death Cab for Cutie fan. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. In the meantime, in between time, ladies and gentlemen, let us welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. Booyah! CNN radio correspondent to the stars, fashionably attired Lisa Goddard. Hello, how are you, sister?
You know, I have to tell you, I am a huge Death Cab for Cutie fan.
Well, I have no problem with them. I wish them
you
all...
You do have a problem with them. That's why you're talking about it. Come on, what are you doing, the congressional game here?
See, I think Rick's problem is he's threatened because his wife finds Ben Gibbard attractive.
He's
projecting.
I'm thinking nerve strike here. I'm not projecting anything.
You totally are. Your one complaint isn't about his music, it's just about, oh, yeah, big chipmunk cheeks.
He does.
My wife likes him.
He looks like he's packing away acorns for the winter, and you know it. You know it's true.
Good musical judgment, Rick.
Well, no.
Chipmunk cheeks.
Have you ever been to a Death Cab concert?
Oh, is this the year? You got to see him live, dude.
No. That's not where I'm going, believe it or not. But it's the craziest thing, you know, and they'll be on stage, and there's lights, and they're jamming, they're singing, you know, and the crowd will be like, yeah! And then the lead singer comes up and goes... Thank you.
I know. Well, that's... I know, because...
It's very odd. It's a very strange... You're going to be like, thanks! You're not... Thank you.
I know, because he's sensitive.
But I kind of enjoyed it. I'm a nerd. What can I say? And I thought...
Well, he's your guy.
Yeah, well, you know, you have some nerdness, perhaps, as well, Rick.
What are you trying to say, Lisa Goddard? There's all this...
The West Wing side of you is what I'm talking about here.
I suppose. I like to think that my nerddom has a certain roguish charm to it, though. a certain raw, streetwise appeal. Whereas... I don't. That guy just looks like he wandered out of the AV club. That's my thing. I don't want to give fuel to Sarah's argument that I'm somehow projecting. I'm simply saying that while they seem like nice young lads, I don't know. The music is. See, I'm treading into dangerous territory here. We're treading into real Nick Hornby ground because I know you say the wrong thing about somebody's musical, you know, the preferences.
Oh, I see.
And then you trigger what Nick Hornby calls music rage, and there's no coming back from that.
Makes you feel better. They're not as huge on the East Coast, I don't think, as they are over there.
Oh, God, they couldn't be. They're here, like, every week. I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
There's a venue here, which is a good-sized venue. It's called the Crystal Ballroom. How many people is the Crystal Ballroom hold, sir?
Oh, I don't know. 1,000?
Is it like 1,200?
Yeah, like between 1,000 and 2,000.
I mean, it's not like a club. I mean, it's a pretty sizable venue. And I swear to God, they play at the Crystal Ballroom like every 4 hours. I mean, it's like one of those 60s things. Four shows a day, 15 days in a row.
Oh, come on now.
My wife goes to all of them. So, anyway,
very few of our friends. It was weird that Bob Costantini knew about them because not many people around here. They're not. It's not at that level yet.
I will say this about Death Cab for Cutie. A, I will say four small things about them, and then we'll move on to matters of state. Because I have, as you will learn, if you have not learned already, I have lots of enumerated thoughts about things that I don't even really care about. Things that don't even really affect me, and I can actually give you my points, like sort of bullet-pointed with subsets to them. A, their song Transcontinental off the album of the same name, which was featured in a very good episode of 6 Feet Under. It's a fantastic song.
Nice, yes. That's true.
B, they have a song called Into the Dark, or I Will Follow You Into the Dark.
Yes.
Which I believe also has a heartbreaking video featuring bunnies. And I know that that makes me sad.
I didn't know that. That is definitely the suicide.
I like it because it reminds me a lot of Paul Simon. It has a real Paul Simon kind of Peter Gabriel vibe to it.
Yeah.
I will also say this. I saw a feature film about Death Cab for Cutie because I was...
I didn't know any of this.
Well, it wasn't really my choice. But I was unemployed and she said, hey, we're going out tonight. And I'm like, okay, honey, what are we doing? And she's like, we're going to see a Death Cab for Cutie documentary. And when you're unemployed, there's really only so much leverage you have. It's not like you can really dig in your heels and be like, baby, screw that. We're staying home. You know, we're going to stay home and watch Ultimate Fighting. Like, you don't really have a lot of that clout. So I went to see a documentary called, I think it was called, like, Have Fun, Drive Safely or something like that. The documentary was really good. I will say my final point about Death Cab for Cutie is, regardless of whatever I might think of them musically, they are a bit like the Grateful Dead to me in that I don't really care for what they do, but they are a legitimate grassroots viral phenomenon that stayed on the road and sort of played their way to success, and I can respect that.
Right.
That they are not a fabricated the band, that no one decided to make them famous. They just went out and played every night at any place that would have them until they became famous, and I can respect that.
So, well, there you go, then.
See?
The rage is going down. The rage out there. You did well.
We are not so different, you and I, Lisa Goddard. All right. Well, I'm eventually going to find a way to talk about Rudy Giuliani here.
All right.
Because I want to, and B, and please don't take any offense to this, B, because Bob Costantini, they disallowed me from talking to him today. And
they did? What happened?
Well, I just don't think they like me.
But, no, you know what? He's done. He's off work right now.
Yeah, can I just tell you this? Can I tell you that Ed McCarthy actually calls me from his living room sometimes with a glass of, what is his thing, vodka cranberry, with a glass of vodka cranberry in one hand and the phone on the other with his feet up on a coffee table talking to me.
Well, you know, you don't really ever know where I'm talking to you from necessarily.
That's true. So I'm in my car and you're at a Greyhound station somewhere.
Right.
So before we get to Rudy Giuliani, let's just put a pin, as they say, in this business of this non-binding resolution, which was pointless anyway. Because it wasn't going to mean anything even if they passed it. But, of course, Democrats did what they always do. They lost and failed. They lost at getting this passed. They failed to get it through. Isn't the whole thing about having control of Congress the fact that you can get stuff passed? They can't even get honorary legislation passed.
Well, how about in the last half hour? In fact, I just ran back for this live shot after these news conferences. The Republicans and Democrats each had a news conference just in the last half hour talking about, you know, basically blaming each other, saying, here's what's going on. And I can run through that, but... You know, I must have sounded like a little naive sixth grade Girl Scout because I asked both of them, is it possible that you could just stop blaming each other and admit that both of you are trying to put your, like, political priorities ahead of the Iraq debate? You're just trying to swing this toward a way that'll help your party instead of actually having the real debate. Can't you just admit that? You know, and there was sort of this weird look at me like, what? You know, this kind of odd...
Who's the intern?
You know, and so the Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, actually answered the question and said, well, we know there's a lot of concern out there and we do want to debate it. You know, he really didn't. He essentially didn't give an answer, but at least he said something. Senator Harry Reid, however, just kind of looked over his shoulder and walked away, and that pretty much ended the news conference. I felt like they were all like, oh, you cute little reporter girl. But I really felt like this is ridiculous. And in fact, I said, you know, talking to radio stations around the country, there really is some outrage out there that you guys can't do anything. And they just sort of looked at me, and the other reporters all kind of looked at me, and you know, all the questions up to then would be like, tell me about why this is a bill and not a resolution, and what about the Gregg Amendment and 60 votes versus 50 votes, and all of those things are so important when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, but it's like, let's look at the big picture, people. We have a war in Iraq that most of this country has serious problems with, and our Congress is not able to make any kind of even innocuous statement about it at this point. So who knows? I do think that the Senate is going to take a vote or perhaps do something maybe in the next 2 weeks. Maybe the House is already saying, forget about it. We're moving forward. They're going to start their debate next week. And things it'll be a lot easier for the House to pass something than it is for the Senate because they don't have as many rules, really.
I was just going to say, because this whole business of the non-binding Iraq resolution, this is like an exhibition game, right? It doesn't really mean anything, but it's sort of an indication of how things are going to go in the future. And it's like, if they can't even get this done, and this doesn't mean
anything. It's been some smart play by Republicans, really, is what's happened. The Republicans have put a motion out there, this Gregg Amendment, that would say Congress cannot cut off funding for troops in Iraq. And the truth is, most senators, especially those who are up for re-election, will vote for that. And that may be the only thing in the Senate that could get 60 votes, which is an important threshold because of the Senate's rules about filibusters. So the Republicans have put this out there and said, hey, let's require 60 votes for everything. So then what will happen is that one amendment that really is basically supporting the president and saying we're not going to cut off funding would be the only thing that passes. So Democrats are saying, no way, we're not going to have that kind of a vote on that resolution. But then in turn, Republicans are saying, all right, if you're not going to vote on that, then we're going to gunk up the works and make sure that you can't vote on anything.
And you know, here's the thing is that the Republicans are just such masters.
They really are.
I always feel that I have to make this statement that I am no more a Democrat than I am a Republican. It's just, it is simply, you know what watching the Republicans just fumble around feebly is like? It's like listening, not like on the gold standard or something, but it's like when we hear a really bad radio program. It's like when we hear someone doing radio really, really poorly with just the clumsiest hack-like lack of ability. And it just sort of offends you on just sort of like a productive, you know, forward-moving American kind of, as a professional, like I respect people who can get stuff done. The Democrats are not that. So I got two thoughts. One is, I'll give you the one that's ludicrous, and then I'll give you the one that's just incredibly ludicrous. The ludicrous one is this. Here's the only way the Democrats are ever going to get anything done. I've really come to this conclusion. My wife and I were talking about this notion of mercenary fighters in Iraq right now, and how there's a thing that the media doesn't really talk about, which is the number of deaths of people, both Americans or from whatever country, who are simply there who will work for the highest bidder. Right. This is the only way the Democrats are going to get anything done. The Democrats really ought to just start hiring Republicans. The Democratic Party ought to just hire Republicans to run and win with the promise that, look, you'll run as a Republican, you'll win as a Republican, but when you get into office, you'll just do what we need you to do, and then we'll pay you whatever it is you need. The Republicans could make coffers full of money. The Democrats could actually get something done because the Republicans are masters of this scorched earth policy, which is effective. And the Democrats are just too spongy and formless. They're like mollusks. You know what I mean?
They're getting a lot better. The Democrats are playing the game better than they ever have before. But Republicans, like you said, have been the master for so long. You know, Trump Lott yesterday, I was interviewing him about what happened. And, you know, don't you think that Americans want to have a vote on this troop increase? And then he was so good. He said, no, I think Americans want a different vote. You know, I think Americans are, you know, he was just such the master of spin on it. He's very good. And he's the number two guy in the Senate. And you can bet a lot of these tactics have a lot to do with him.
My final ludicrous observation before I ask you about Rudy Giuliani is this. There was a caller yesterday who had a fantastic idea. And it really is very rare that just a groundbreaking genius idea is presented here on this radio program, and this was actually not even mine, it was callers. He suggested that C-SPAN ought to have a program where when Congress is in session, C-SPAN equipped their broadcast with one of those things from the Sharper Image. It's like a voice-activated lie detector that basically is a voice polygraph that measures voice stress, and just have that running constantly whenever anybody, George Bush, Nancy Pelosi, whenever anybody is speaking on television. That's a fantastic idea. Secondly, I do believe in the tradition of really groundbreaking and untraditional and non-conventional Super Bowl ads, I really think that the folks at either Viagra or Cialis are missing something by not sponsoring political broadcasts on C-SPAN. There really ought to be, like this meeting of the Democratic National Committee brought to you by Cialis. I mean, what else would you do? Think of the publicity that would garner. Think of the publicity if an impotence drug manufacturer would have sponsored something, that the Democratic Party did. I mean, just the headlines alone would be worth whatever they had to pay.
Right, right.
All right, my final my final segment of the day is Rudy Giuliani.
Yes.
Because, so I'm out of the loop on this. So is he running? Is he teasing? Is he dangling? Is he promising? What's he doing?
Yeah, he's dangling. He's probably up to his ankles, at least in the pool. He's filing papers with the Federal Election Commission that essentially start the process of forming presidential campaign committees and fundraising and all that stuff. He hasn't officially announced. He can still, you know, potentially back out of it, but he's on the road. He's definitely on the road. He's driving. It's just a matter of whenever he passes the official go line. But what's interesting, has your news director spotted the new phrase? And it may not actually last all that long because it seems like almost everybody's already announced. But the new phrase, the new buzz phrase that's coming out now.
I don't know, Tim. Have we? We're always on the lookout for new catchphrases. Tim, have we noticed any new political catchphrases recently?
Let's see here.
I don't know. What is the one you're thinking of?
In it to win it.
In it to win it. Hillary Clinton said that.
Yeah, and now also Giuliani.
Okay, let's keep an eye out.
He said, I'm in this to win, but I think that's very, it's very close. There's all.
The in it to win. Here's my, I know we're dangerously over time here, so we got to go, but two questions. A, do the Republicans need evangelicals to win an election from now on? Forevermore, do they need the evangelical base? And B, will the evangelical base support a guy, let's say Rudy Giuliani, who's pro-gay rights, pro-stem cells, pro-choice, and is a divorced adulterer?
Double divorcee, right. No, evangelicals it's going to be hard to get them as a bloc to support Rudy Giuliani. On the evangelical, I think the most important question is the Republican Party has two decisions to make. Are they going to go with that, thinking that the evangelicals are what they need to win? Are they going to keep that up? And in fact, that did work in the last two presidential elections. Or are they going to make a sea change and go for the moderate vote more than they ever have again? It seems in Congress, the House is probably going to start casting itself Republicans as more moderate. But presidential candidates, I don't see it happening. I think they're aiming for the conservatives. But we'll see. It really depends on who comes out and votes in these primaries. If the evangelicals are fed up with everybody and don't show up, then you will get a more moderate candidate.
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be the best election ever. Ever, 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 ever. All right. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, and we will speak to you in the very near future, undoubtedly. Lisa Garvin, see you then. Thank you, sister.
There you go. Have a great day.
Fantastic. Good times. Bam. All right, there you go. Hi, Sarah. It's a peculiar look you have in your face right now.
Oh, no, these Jessica Simpson pictures are gold.
All right. It's 503-7. Long as that's all that is, it's 503-733-2970. You were looking at me all quizzically. You had this. You had a bemused expression on your face. I don't know if that was there was some particular genesis to that.
No.
All right, it's 503-7. And by the way, you malignant bastards, I would also like to point out that my wife is not only am I being subjected to the death cap.
No, because I feel a little weird because I feel like you're lashing out at me.
I'm not lashing out.
Look, yeah, because I joked with you about how, like, oh, Laura might have, you know, she sounds a little kooky, you know, thinking that Ben Gibbard's singing the song.
No,
she doesn't actually think that.
No, I'm the kooky one. No, that's all me. No, she's the same one.
Okay.
She's the same one, except for this month when I would like, and I can't believe I didn't point this out yesterday, that my wife has decided to, you know, it's like some girls go to college and they just decide to become gay for 4 years. My wife has just decided to become a vegan for 6 months. So she's taking, I am now a week into this, and I don't have time to talk about it right now. But as of, what is today, Tuesday? So I'm now 8 days into this. So as of last Monday, Laura, and by the way, that does not mean I am on a vegan diet, because that won't be happening. But so for at least the next 6 months, my wife and Tim Riley are on the same page, because she's on a strictly vegan diet until whenever that is. February, March, April, May, June, July. So until the beginning of the summer. Yeah, I don't know, because she just felt like she was eating poorly. And she's a big believer in sort of drastic measures. You know, she's a big believer in sort of cutting the Gordian knot, as they say. And she felt like she was eating a bunch of crap and not eating like terribly badly, but just not eating very well. And so her solution to that, don't get me wrong, that makes sense to me. But her whole solution is, I'll become vegan. And so, bam, there you go. Which is great, except that it means that now I'm that guy. It's like living with with a drunk, who's trying to get clean, like having to. You have to drink if you want booze. You have to like go after the tool shed and drink there because you can't be seen drinking alcohol in front of them. So anytime I want a pizza, I got to find an excuse to leave the house.
So that's good. Is the meat being hidden with the toilet paper now?
No, that's the other thing. Is if I want meat, I've actually got to sort of like leave the house to find it somewhere because she's not buying it.
It's not hard to find.
Meat is in everything now.
Meat is everywhere.
Ice cream and a side of meat, please. We should probably break here. It's 503-733-2970. When I got this casting call thing to mention, there's a... Is this going to be the musical selection for the rest of the program?
No, this is the last one. But also appropriate, we're still talking about.
I forgot to ask Lisa Goddard if she's into the Postal Service. I kind of dig those guys, actually. More than Death Cab for Cutie. This is Lars' ringtone, incidentally. Right. Because God hates me. 503-733-2970. By the way, it's a little awkward to be with a woman who constantly plays a song that is called The Sound of Settling. How am I supposed to feel about that as a man?
Yeah, even a ringtone?
Yeah, The Sound of Settling. Thanks. Way to pump me full of manly confidence, son. Be back after this, The Rick Emerson Show. Old age is just around the bend.